from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, so let's go there when it comes to the Texans and the defensive line. I like this defensive line. I like it as is, man. And yes, I would be very interested in J.J. Watt. We're going to get to that in a minute. I think he'd be a dummy not to be. If D'Amico wants to make the call and he wants to answer it, I'm good. But here we go. Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter. I mean, you can't beat that on the edges. You've got D'Amico Autry. Yes, he's going to be suspended, but he's a really, really good player in the middle.
They're paying him a pretty good
paying
amount.
Him well. Fadakasi has looked good. Mario Edwards, we know, has looked good. We've talked about that. And then you got Jerry Hughes and Derek Barnett, who are, I'm not going to say, like, superstars by any
Barnett
stretch,
was solid last season.
They're proven here. Yeah. And so this happened. First of all, first things first, Justin Simmons is off the board. Yeah, we saw that
finally
yesterday. So the wait is over. That's the safety position. But Matthew Judon was traded yesterday to the Falcons, and reportedly the Texans were in the mix. Now, I don't know to what extreme they were in the mix. There's kind of mixed reports on just what their interest was. But, you know, to me, that's very, very interesting that, you know, Judon, who obviously he's a linebacker, but, you know, one of the front seven guys, you know, that can help on the edges and stuff like that. I mean, I guess, I mean, the linebacker position is one that I've talked about a lot and had my eye on. So maybe is it Christian Harris? Is he going to be an edge guy more in certain? I mean, I don't know, because he's really good.
Yeah, I think, to me, when I heard this news, I really didn't, I guess, think too much into it. Mm-hmm. I kind of look at it because I feel like Nick Caserio is the type of guy that just kind of check in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not, like, for an example, like, if somebody was selling a car, somebody say, hey, this car for sale, you might be like, oh, how much you want for?
Even if you have a car, you're good to go.
You might have three cars.
Yeah.
You might, you know, you ain't looking to buy no car, but, you know, if a buddy of yours or a place, if somebody you cool with, you might be like, how much you selling for? And then you kind of think a little bit. But you know you ain't buying no damn, you don't need no car.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Nick Caserio probably checked in to see how much they how much he was going for.
Yeah.
And if it was, you know, like a maybe a fourth or something like that, something that was very affordable, where he's like, wow, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah.
I think he probably would have pulled the trigger. But I don't think it was something like he's still currently looking for somebody, like a D lineman or edge rusher or something.
Well,
like that.
And D'Amico Ryan's talked about this yesterday, and I love the philosophy that he has. But it was just a little interesting. Maybe I don't know exactly where they would see him lining up, but this was D'Amico.
Good football players is what I'm looking for. At whatever the position is, any good football players that can help us, that's what we're looking to continue to add to our team and be as good as possible. For myself and Nick, it's something that we continue to evaluate, right? Our team is never set. So whatever players, right, come up or available, whatever it is, we look into all those situations to see how can we improve our team. That's our job, to improve our team and put the best team together for the Texans, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, look, I endorse it. Yeah, yeah. I don't see how anybody could not.
Every team should be doing that. Mm-hmm. I feel like if it's a good player on the market, it shouldn't be a team that's like, nah, we're not interested. Yeah. Unless it's like a quarterback or something like that. But yeah. Like, no team should be like, nah, you should look into it, see how much how much they want for it, or what are you looking for, just to kind of think.
I'm with you. I just feel like anybody would want your team to always be looking for talent. It just kind of piqued my interest. Another edge guy, linebacker, whatever. He's a pass rusher. And so he was this. Let me just play this from last night's game, Patriots and Eagles. Last night, kind of a boring game. I didn't even watch but about 20 minutes of it.
I didn't even know it was on to the end of it. I'm like, damn, it was a game on?
Yeah, not until about 20 minutes of it is about all I could stand. But there was the local TV, the sideline interview with local TV. And Ramondre Stevenson was asked about, we think, Matthew Judon.
I got to ask you about the guy who just left. How much are they going to miss him? And who's going to step up in his place?
Mm-hmm. I miss Bill. That was one of my favorite coaches. But, you know, Mayo, he's a great leader. He knows what he's doing with us. And, yeah, I'm excited for Mayo, and I think we can get it done with him.
I wasn't talking about Mayo. I'm talking about your defensive teammate.
Oh, Judon.
He's moving on to better places.
Excited.
He's a different place.
Great, different place. Excited for him. I still know he has a couple more years in him, so I'm excited for him.
Oh, Judon. Judon is who you were asking about.
Now, I will give him a little bit of credit, too. The way the reporter set up the question, it did made it seem like it was about
it could have been either one.
Yeah, because he made it seem super sentimental. We was like, the guy that left.
The guy that left.
How do you feel about replacing? Like, I would have thought he's talking about Bill too.
Yeah,
but no, I get it.
Awkward, awkward to say the best. All right, so with that in mind, you heard D'Amico, and obviously, you know, the Texans are still looking. JJ's still out there. First of all, somebody asked me this: is this a sign, you know, that they still want different place? JJ would be inside. Not outside if he comes back. So I don't think it's any sign about they're still looking for that defensive line. Because Judon, like I said, he's a linebacker by definition, you know, but he's a pass rusher that gets his hand in the dirt sometimes. So it's a little different with that.
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, I think they just kind of checking in on it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily we need somebody and you know, we in on it, but kind of checking in like, oh, he on the trade block.
Yeah.
What y'all want for him?
But
what's the price looking like?
Yeah, it did get me thinking. D'Amico is saying, we're looking for good football players. We all love that, as I mentioned. Maybe or definitely where the Texans still might add players. They're going to add players. There's going to be players cut from other teams. There's going to be perhaps a trade or anything. So I think they definitely are still looking to add players at two positions, running back, and obviously linebacker. So I think running back still is in play.
See, I guess I'm going off of history, but it seemed like they don't really add anybody that's more, I guess, a threat at running back. They might add somebody, maybe undrafted free agent or something like that.
Or a cut.
Yeah, but I don't see them like. I was actually shocked they brought in Cam Akers. That was kind of shocking to me. But
I'm glad they did.
Yeah, I don't see them bringing in somebody that could potentially replace or give Damian Pierce a run for his money.
But the thing is, I mean, Damian Pierce might.
I wish
really,
they would.
He might surprise us all. Yeah,
I wish they would.
He's got to surprise us all.
Yeah,
he's got to show something. See, I think bringing in Cam Akers is a sign that they are still looking. Like, because they're kicking the tires on Cam Akers, and so far, so good.
Yeah.
But like, let's say whatever, he's not fully healthy or whatever. They've already tried to bring in another running back. I mean, it's done. They brought him in after training camp started.
Yeah.
So I think they're still looking at running back. Linebacker, well, you just saw, you know, they were in on Judon a little bit. And I still think that that's probably where a little depth, you know, could be an issue.
Yeah, I said that from the beginning. Once Christian Harris, you know, kind of came up a little hurt,
mm-hmm.
I think they should be looking at linebacker. I don't think they need to go out there and give up a big time draft pick or nothing like that.
Yeah.
A big splash, but they do need to get somebody just in case, just extra bodies because. Yeah. Maybe they do have faith in like Henry Toa or
well, they Jake seem Hansen. To. He's kind of like a defensive Damian Pierce.
Yeah,
you haven't really seen it.
Yeah,
but they seem to have a lot of confidence in it.
Yeah, and they probably do. But I will bring somebody in just in case,
mm-hmm.
just in case it don't really work out how they thought it was.
Or yeah,
if he struggle a little bit, Jake Hansen struggle a little bit,
right?
And they could have somebody else that could kind of come in, kind of like the running back position,
exactly.
You know, you got Damian Pierce, but you bring in Cam Akers mm-hmm. to kind of maybe change the pace a little bit.
And these are my maybes. I think I'm not saying they're, you know, like, see, I think they are looking for running back still. I think they are looking for linebackers, and we have the evidence. Cam Akers, you know, and some of the interest that they've said, et cetera. These are maybes for me, and I don't know if you agree or disagree. 713-572-4610. Obviously, you can message on the YouTube stream as well. And Figgy, I'm asking you because I think they might still be looking at tight ends. And there's a reason for that. Tight ends are so important in this offense. I think Cade Stover is going to be the number two guy behind behind Dalton Schultz. But I also think, like, and you've said this, maybe you can use someone like Brevin Jordan kind of as a hybrid or an alternative type of a weapon.
Like a secret weapon.
But that means you only have two true tight ends.
Yeah.
Now they will use him as a tight end.
Yeah.
But he's also been inconsistent, and Tegan Quatoriano just stays hurt.
Yeah.
So they really have the two dudes. I think they might still be looking at a tight end. I think they might still be looking at a safety. And that's just not me trying, because I don't have a lot of confidence or haven't seen a lot from the safeties. I just think that's a position where you can upgrade.
Yeah, I can see tight end. It's a little tough because they actually have Brevin Jordan as a tight end.
Yeah.
So you'll have a lot.
And he'll line up a lot of tight ends.
Yeah, I think he will too.
Yeah.
But I think in the perfect world, I think the thing is with Tegan being hurt a lot, mm-hmm. I think if they bring somebody else in, it's to kind of replace Tegan,
just
having an available body.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I think he should be the number two.
Mm-hmm.
And Brevin, you could kind of move him around. You could line him up a tight end too, but also throw him out there in the slot or, you know, kind of run around a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of be that weapon that mm-hmm. the defense can't really prepare for.
Yeah. Yeah. But it'll be interesting. I think that's a maybe. Same thing with safety. I think they still might be looking at defensive linemen. I think they like what they have here, but Autry's going to be suspended for six games. They like some of the guys that are there. We've seen good plays out of some of the guys that are there, but boy, you know, that is so integral in D'Amico Ryan's defense, especially what the interior defensive linemen are doing.
Yeah. Now I think as far as defensive linemen, I see they signed Jerry Hughes.
Yeah.
And I think they did that mm-hmm. because they knew about the Autry suspension that was coming down.
Yeah.
But I would actually be shocked if they still looking for, because I feel like they might
what I'm saying.
It would shock me because I feel like they loaded up from the beginning.
Yeah.
And if they still feel like they can load mm-hmm. up mm-hmm. right there, I'm like, man, they really trying to do some things.
Yeah.
Man. Maybe they trying to have like some type of rotational thing going on mm-hmm. and keeping everybody fresh and healthy.
Yeah.
So I'll be down for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll definitely be down for it. But I would be a little shocked if they still looking to add some guys there.
And here's what, speaking of shock, this is one that might be a shock for a lot of people. I'm just thinking in terms of if they do get some kind of offer, you know, for Davis Mills, or they just feel like they can add somebody, they might look at a backup quarterback.
I can see that.
They might.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. I think they should. Now, I'm not the Davis Mills is a good backup guy. I think he's okay.
Yeah.
But I think he's very replaceable, man. I don't feel like if they trade Davis Mills, then all hell is about to break loose. I think there's some people out there you could sign.
Yeah.
To give you similar Davis Mills type of production, man.
Like Davis Mills is not one of those guys where you're like, oh man, we can't lose Davis Mills.
Yeah.
No, he is a replaceable backup quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, and Sean was talking about yesterday, he thinks he really has had a good preseason and training camp so far. I think he's been okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the same things, and maybe I'm just not seeing it like Sean, but yeah. I think he is a replaceable player.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I don't want to disrespect the guy, but
yeah.
I feel like, man, if you get rid of him and possibly bring in an AJ McCarron,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you're missing a huge beat by that.
No, God, no.
I don't think it's a thing where it's just like, oh man, y'all really downgraded.
Yeah.
I think it's similar production.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, because I don't look at Davis Mills as like a Jacoby Brissett or somebody that if CJ get hurt, then this veteran guy gonna come in and mm-hmm. he gonna keep the boat afloat. I don't get that type of vibe with Davis Mills.
Yeah, no, I don't either. And just like you said, all due respect, the guy has been good. You know,
yeah,
he's had his moments.
Yeah, he's been all right,
but he's also been bad.
Yeah, I don't think he's that good where you got to hold on to him.
Yeah,
because in case CJ Stroud, after all, it is a backup position.
And the other thing that is to me kind of telling, and you know, maybe you can read too much into it, maybe you're not. Like, I think he has a say in this. I think he sees the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And if he's sort of kicking the tires, remember he didn't finish practice yesterday, didn't practice on Sunday, didn't run any plays on Wednesday. Like, those are signs.
I think,
you know?
So. Yeah, no, I think so too. And I think the way the Houston Texans have been running the organization,
mm-hmm.
I think they respect him a lot enough to, if he did come to them and say, hey, I think I want an opportunity to play elsewhere and have a chance to start and prove myself.
There are places that are going to be looking.
I think they will.
They are looking.
Yeah, and I think Nick Caserio will look out for him. And I remember you criticized this at the time about Mark Ingram. Remember?
Oh, God.
Remember they just gave him up.
Like, hey, you want Mark Ingram? Sure. We'll give you Mark Ingram.
Yeah, we got you. We can send you back home for nothing.
Sure. What do you want? What else do you want?
Yeah.
You want the silverware? You want
And see, at the time, like, I know you was criticizing it, but at that time, I was kind of like, man, I think they do need to do stuff like that to kind of build that relationship up around the league that, hey, we look out for our players, too.
We're no good. You take him.
Yeah.
We're no good.
And they could have needed. They could have used him. I thought he was still all right.
Oh, yeah, he was.
But I think stuff like that, I think they will do stuff like that for players that been respected inside the building.
Yeah.
And Davis Mills,
he was a
soldier, man.
Yeah, he did his job.
Yeah,
you know,
he did the best he could do, man.
Asked a lot of him, and he came up. No, this is not anything to do with that. It's just the profession. And to be fair, I do want to say there was another report that part of the reason he wasn't taking snaps was because he had gotten hit in the ribs and was precautionary and all that. So this could be much ado about nothing.
Yeah.
But I also think maybe they could. They could look at another quarterback. So we're talking about those guys. There are also other guys that I think this could be. Well, let me ask you this, 713-572-4610. I'll ask the listeners, I'll ask you guys, and we're going to talk about it next. Can a preseason game be make or break? Is it possible? And I'm not talking about for guys just trying at the end of the roster. I'm talking about for guys that you were counting on. Could a preseason game be make or break? Let's talk about that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man.
Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Next. All right, so we mentioned John Metchie a little bit earlier when we're sort of laying out some of the things we want to see. We might have to revisit that here in a little bit, about noon or so. But let's get specific, because we just sort of touched on some of the guys that need to, you know, sort of show something.
Do something, bro.
But can a preseason game be make or break? And let me explain on this just a little bit. Like, I think for Metchie it is make or break. I don't know about this particular game. Maybe they'll give him another, you know, maybe they won't have a decision. And they're going to say they don't make a decision until after the preseason game. But they have a whiteboard in their offices, you know, D'Amico and or Caserio. And they this is how every team does it. They set up some sort of, you know, sort of running depth chart. Well, it only adds up to 53, you know, outside of like practice squad, et cetera. So the top 53... I don't think John Metchie is on it right now.
Yeah, I think he's totally out, to the point where when they do put him out there, whatever he do, I think he's just auditioning for another chance.
Yeah.
And getting some film stuff at this point, man. I think just from a numbers game, I just don't see how he makes this team.
Yeah.
Like, he don't do special teams. So it's not a way where he can, you know, contribute punt returning or, you know, kick off, any of that.
Well, that's funny you say that about returns, because, like, we were talking about it yesterday, and I actually kind of felt silly afterwards, because here we are and we're doing it again. But I'm going to get to some other players is why we're mentioning John Metchie. I think he's absolutely off the board right now. I think he's absolutely the next two games playing for a job, if not here, somewhere else. But we mentioned it yesterday. You could easily argue that he might be the eighth or ninth best receiver in camp right now. You got the top three. You have Noah Brown. You have Ben Skowronek. That's five. You have Xavier Hutchinson, six. Robert Woods, seven. And then Steven Sims is integral in the return game. That's eight.
Yeah. I just don't see how he make this team. And I know they're going to give him every chance. Mm-hmm. And let's say he do ball out the next two games to end preseason. Yeah. I think he just auditioning for another team, or maybe they trying to get him to do some stuff so they could up the trade value.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know what they would get for him, but yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think whatever he do, if he ball out the next 2 days, I don't think it matters.
It's not. That's what I'm saying. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to
do
anything.
So we agree on that. I mean, it's almost a wrap, but he's definitely playing You know, it's make or break.
I don't think if he ball out these next two games, they're going to like,
Yeah, hey, let's rethink everything.
Yeah.
Maybe. Second-round pick. You know, Nick Caserio's, pick and all that, maybe.
I think that's the slim chance right there that he was the second-round pick.
Yeah.
And they think maybe he did unlock something.
But let's assume that that's the case. Anybody else? It's like these next two preseason games, and it starts, it might be more significant this week. Because, you know, you got starters playing, et cetera. I got a couple of names that I think, just based on the times that I've been out there, what we've seen in games, you think Jeff Okudah or C.J. Anderson are playing for a job?
I think Jeff Okudah is.
Yeah?
I honestly think they brought him in to be CB2 or big chance to beat CB2.
Yeah.
I don't think they expected Lassiter to do what Lassiter is doing right now.
Yeah.
So I think he is fighting for a spot even on this roster.
Mm-hmm.
I have no faith in C.J. Henderson. I haven't even heard his name throughout camp like that. So I think he's probably in the same position as Mechie, where let me just get out there, try to do something for another team. Maybe I could hop on another team's roster or something like that. I don't think C.J. Henderson making this roster at all.
I don't think that's the case. I think let me put one qualifier on it. The qualifier is, like, you're going to have to find some room for some receivers or something here on the roster that you didn't have last year. Like, you kept six or whatever last year, you're going to probably keep, more. So maybe you kind of trim elsewhere. I think that's the qualifier. But I think they can't have enough cornerbacks. I don't think any team can have enough cornerbacks. And despite their ups and downs and, top picks and all that kind of underachieved, I think they just feel comfortable having those guys around. I don't think that those guys are in much danger. But the roster numbers might catch up to them.
Yeah, what about, to me, I was thinking about this one too, because they're going to have Petrie playing a lot of nickel.
Yeah.
What about
Dez? I don't think Desmond King, that's interesting.
Because that's his spot.
Yeah.
That was his spot.
Yeah.
And now, I think if Petrie struggled, then you got Desmond King right there.
Remember, he
that
got
position.
Released already.
Yeah, and they
brought his ass back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it work out how they think it's going to work out with Petrie, playing a little more nickel.
Yeah. I wish I knew more what they feel about the other nickel. They have three pure, in air quotes, nickels. They have obviously Jalen Petrie, Desmond King, and Miles Bryant.
Yeah.
Miles Bryant hadn't looked bad. Like, if you've been watching these games and been out to practice, he hasn't looked bad. He really hasn't.
Yeah. That could be something. That could be kind of like a money or numbers game with that, where maybe, it's cheaper to keep a Miles Bryant and kind of let go of a Desmond King.
Yeah.
Because Miles Bryant is solid, and if he don't have to, I guess, really do a lot for Jalen Petrie, then maybe that's it. That might be the better choice of keeping him rather than keeping or letting him go.
Another thing I wish I knew more about, and maybe I shouldn't say that on the radio because we're supposed to know a lot, but we're over there talking to people and watching them and all that, and digging in, but there's just so few roster spots now, but they need a fullback. But maybe they use someone else at fullback.
Yeah, I was about to say, they need a fullback?
Yeah, maybe they use someone else at fullback.
A lot of
fullback.
People don't be using a fullback like that.
I mean, Andrew Beck, nobody says, hey, Andrew Beck, I'm a huge fan. He's a good player that has been consistent on this team that they like and they rely on, and they have to have a fullback. So my first inclination is, this dude is in. He's in. But, dude, how do you get to 53? When you have extra receivers, you're probably going
to
keep.
That's why I would hate to be Nick Caserio.
Maybe,
man,
an extra running back you need to keep. Maybe an extra DB you need to keep, different from what you usually do. Like, do you run some other guys? And they have at practice. We do know that.
Yeah, but see, this is where they could kind of get a little funky with it.
Mm-hmm.
They can, let's say they decide to part ways with Andrew Beck.
Yeah.
They can use, that's when somebody like Dare can be.
That's what I'm saying.
He can move over and be a fullback.
Brevin Jordan.
And bring it, yeah, or Brevin
Hell,
Jordan.
Hell, Cade Stover.
Yeah, that's where they could get a little.
Skoranek has played in the backfield. Now, I wouldn't call him a fullback by any stretch.
Nah.
But I'm saying, like, as in terms of filling the role, filling the set.
Yeah.
You know?
That's where it could get a little scary to me when it comes to the tight end position with Brevin Jordan.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, this ain't just no regular fullback.
Yeah.
This is somebody who.
Another weapon.
Hybrid. Yeah. This is somebody who. Technically is a tight end, but he looked like a damn receiver. He's he's fast like a receiver, and he can get you right there.
Yeah,
and this guy can catch, so they could get a little funky like that.
I like the way you put that, because my first thought, and that's why I kind of framed it like that. Is there anyone else? You know, I don't know about how they're going to approach the fullback position. My thought would be, if I had to make a bet, it would be Andrew Beck's going to be on the squad. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You got to get to 53 somehow.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I think he's going to make this roster too, but I won't be surprised if they say, nah, I think we, you know, yeah, we had him year one.
Yeah.
But right now, I think we good. We can we can do some cool little Bobby Slowick type stuff.
And that's another factor. Bobby can do that stuff.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, yeah. No, it's going to get interesting. Man, some weird, weird stuff happening around the sports world right now. Apparently, the MLB is considering some more drastic, and I mean drastic, rules changes for pitchers. And it's a simple question. You ever worn women's clothing? We're going to get to that next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
This is pretty wild. Like, this, Figgy, is pretty wild. 713-572-4610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Byron Matthews joining you here on In the Loop. Apparently, Major League Baseball is seriously considering changing the pitching rules again. Now, they did the pitch clock already, et cetera, and they're doing other stuff to speed up the game. But now, this is not just like speeding up the game. It might help a little bit, but this is more making the game a little more traditional, and they say maybe lessen some arm injuries. And I'd like to see what the logic is on that. But they have discussed a limit to the size of pitching staffs because they're thinking about implementing changes that would be aimed at making starting pitchers go at least six innings. All right. So what they're saying is that there's some belief around the game that if a pitcher goes six innings, it might even help pitchers' health. I don't know about that. But the goal is to have this minimum innings rule. Restore the prestige of starting pitchers. Fans would be able to tune into a game. Yes, no, yes. And I know people are already saying, wait a minute, what if they get rocked? That kind of thing. So I guess they're saying that starting pitchers are increasingly unlikely to get past the fifth inning, which we knew already.
Yeah.
But the objective is to prioritize starting pitchers, get them to go at least six innings every time they start, with some exceptions, which I know a lot of people are talking about. Some instances when a starter would be allowed to leave early, before the sixth inning or after six, whatever it is, if he's already thrown 100 pitches, because they're trying to help the arms. If he's given up more than four earned runs. So in other words, if a guy gets rocked like Hunter Brown did earlier this year, five runs in a third of an inning, you're out. You don't have to go six innings. Or he gets injured. So outside of those exceptions, pitchers would have a mandate to make it through at least six innings as a starting pitcher. I, first of all, don't think this is ever going to pass. but you never know. I mean, people thought the pitch clock and other things like that might not pass.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that at all, man. Mm-hmm. Like, so if a pitcher, you said four hit, if he get over four earned runs. So if he's up to like three runs, and you could tell he's out of, because we just seen starting pitchers
stay in.
Framber, who just barely, he's getting rocked, but salute to the Astros defense. They maybe not give up a run or something like that, where it might look good, like, yeah. Oh, they only scored one run, but mm-hmm. you know Framber is fried.
Yeah.
No, I'm not putting my guy out there six trying to get six innings.
Yeah, or that's, give up another run.
Yeah,
so he can pull him.
Yeah, because sometimes those numbers be a little fugazi, man.
Yeah.
You might. I mean, if you ain't see the game and you look at the numbers, you be like, yeah. Oh, he only gave up one run, but yeah. they hit him like 9-10 times or something like that.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
You know, or he might walk like five guys or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, man, you got to look at the. You got to look at the feel of the game, man. Sometimes.
You know it's out.
Yeah, you know it ain't going to work out. You can't try to force that guy out there for six innings.
Yeah. And so this was an ESPN story, so giving them credit. Apparently, they spoke with one Major League Baseball executive, and this is the quote. "We are interested in increasing the amount of action in the game, restoring the prominence of the starting pitcher, and reducing the prevalence of pitching injuries." Again, I'd like to see where their data is on that.
Yeah.
There are a whole host of options in addressing those issues, but one of them, of course, has been, making a pitcher go six innings outside of the 100 pitches, giving up four earned runs, or getting injured. So, and the other thing about this is it's not going to be an overnight thing. They're not going to just say, hey, we're going to have a ghost runner on second, you know, or whatever. They're going to start it in the minor league system, let those pitchers start getting used to it, maybe do 2 or 3 years like that, and then bring it to the major leagues. Part of me actually kind of likes the idea because I like a starting pitcher. There's something special about a starting pitcher and go seven, eight innings. Hell, Nolan Ryan threw over 200 pitches in some starts.
Yeah.
And it's just cool and it's awesome and it's the guy on the mound.
They the star.
You know, yeah, dealing. Yeah,
a middle reliever ain't really a star. They
well, you can say goodbye to openers. Remember, they like the Rays and other teams have often done.
Yeah,
you can say goodbye to that. There ain't gonna be no more openers.
I'm not. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't feeling this at all.
No,
man.
I'm not. But like I said, there is that one aspect of part of me that's like, it's cool to have a dude.
Yeah,
just go.
I see what they trying to do, but yeah. I'm just not really feeling this, man. To me, it don't make any sense, especially like. You got to have a feel for the game, man. Mm-hmm. And let's say that pitcher was on the money mm-hmm. all the way to like the fourth or fifth inning.
Yeah.
And they just lose it.
Well, that's a great point. Let's say you're in the fifth inning. You go into the sixth and you're winning 2-1.
Yeah.
And they get a runner on second, and then you have the matchup with a lefty or something.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to make the move now.
Yeah, no.
I want to take him out now.
Yeah, let me get to my bullpen so I can get this guy out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not about to lose the game to get this guy to the sixth inning.
You mean he's got
to
give up, he's got to throw 18 more pitches or whatever, or give up three more runs?
Yeah, so just imagine being a starting pitcher and, you know, it's not looking good. You got somebody on second and third with two outs.
And you got a righty-lefty thing. Yeah, you got numbers against that batter.
And you got to face Jordan.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, I was on the money now.
Yeah.
And I could get this win.
And
if you take me out and give it to the, to the bullpen.
Yeah.
So, man, I don't like that.
No, I don't either for the most part. Like I said, there is that kind of, it's kind of cool. So I said that the hits are wild, weird today. ESPN had some layoffs yesterday, and it includes Sam Ponder, who's really good, and Robert Griffin III, who's really Robert Griffin III. Anyway, and I can't give full credit to myself here. I just basically clipped and pasted because the website Kix put together an unappreciation thread of our guy RG3. These are some of the I wonder why he got fired. Anyway, these are some of the things that we've heard over the years from Robert Griffin III.
Jalen Hurts couldn't get it done. He couldn't operate from the pocket. He's not the quarterback of the future. I think he proved all those wrong.
All those what? What did he call them?
Mm,
he proved the what wrong?
I can't say that. Man.
Not for air.
Yeah.
But it was on air.
Man.
On ESPN.
I don't remember that.
During a broadcast of a college football college football game.
Dang. So is that the reason he got, or they won't say?
They won't say, but we got more of the unappreciation thread.
In life, man. I don't know what more. So I'm hearing guys talking about, oh, well, Lamar Jackson needs to be better. He needs to do this. The real question we need to ask is he getting enough out of the guys around him on offense before we start talking about his contract? He's out there fighting for his in life, man. I don't know what more the guy can do.
That's two on air.
Man.
That would have been beeped in it and were for here, but like on ESPN, were not.
Dang.
That's bleeping life, man.
That's crazy, man, because you think he seemed like he's a professional guy. And when he first got to ESPN, when I first heard him doing commentary and all that, I thought he was all right.
Yeah.
I thought he was cool.
No, a lot of people did.
Yeah, he do a little extra stuff. But no, I thought he was all right. So it kind of seemed unprofessional for him.
Those are big fines, too, as we all know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the time he tried to basically state his case for the New York Jets?
Talk about free agent quarterbacks.
Yeah.
There's a reason that certain guys aren't in the league. It's because they're uninspired. But Foxy knows this. Some of these guys like Carson Wentz, Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, myself, it's not that we can't play the game anymore. It's that we're a big distraction if you bring us in. I had a GM tell me this offseason, hey, man, I know you can still play. You look like you can still play. But if we bring you in, it's going to be a distraction for our starting quarterback. So now that your starter and Aaron Rodgers is out, you can potentially go and grab some of those guys.
All right, so he basically says, hey, I want to play for the Jets.
Yeah.
There's more. I guess some people call Kyle Lowry thick with two C's.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, this was RG3.
I can't wait to get in the thick of one of the greatest college football traditions in the world. I'm getting in the thick of it like Kyle Lowry. Let's go.
Pause, man.
I'm getting in the thick of it like Kyle Lowry.
Man.
Have you ever had an orgy in the end zone?
Quarterback, he makes the read, and what do you know, guys? It's an orgy in the end zone.
Oh, goodness. Man.
Oh, there's one more. And this is just the tip of the iceberg.
To potentially get a first down, the coverage was there. They lifted that man up to the sky like he was Jesus, letting them know they're going to put him on the cross right there. Wow. Great job by Ole Miss's defense.
That's a bit much. That's a little cringy right there.
Put him on the cross like Jesus?
Goodness.
Yeah, well, we'll see where he ends up. I got a question for you, dude.
What's up?
You ever worn woman's clothes?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
Be honest, it's just us.
Nope, not that I can recall.
You sure?
Yes.
Well, I think we all know Oscar De La Hoya has.
Yeah.
He was on Club Shay Shay.
Yeah.
I got to give him credit, man. I'm dead serious. I got him credit. He said it with his chest.
That they were real because it set me free.
Really?
Know? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're out there 15 years ago. So what? I mean, what? I bet if I asked 30 people here, 20 of them say, yeah, I've worn something from a woman in closed doors. That's what happens. Mine just came out publicly.
Y'all don't know about that, Oscar.
Come on, let me see.
I ain't even got no socks, so I know I ain't wearing no pantyhose.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Oscar.
Yeah.
Shannon's like, he said, apparently he said 30 people there. He said, if I asked 30 people, 20 of them would admit that they've worn woman's clothes. 20?
Yeah, that's a lot, man.
I'm not talking Halloween. You know, something like that.
Yeah, nah, that's, I don't know. It's always funny when people do stuff like that where you be like, oh, yeah, sure, we all did that once, right?
Yeah,
like, and then like, be like,
I don't think we did.
Yeah, we
didn't do that.
Hey, don't say we.
Yeah.
That's something weird. That's you.
Come on, you know you wore women's clothes. Yeah, I don't know about that, Oscar.
You know you ate some dog food before, man. We all ate some dog food once in a while. I'm like, no, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
We all did crack once in a while. Right? Like, no. No, I didn't.
Ain't never done crack. Sorry to say, ain't never done crack. This guy, but you got to give him credit, man.
Yeah.
He had all those photos in the women's clothes. It was like lingerie, too, wasn't it?
Yeah. I seen those pictures years ago.
He said 15 years. I'll take his word for it.
No, I remember that. And I think he actually addressed that before where he said he was kind of going through a time in his life. I think he was on drugs.
Yeah.
It was a lot going on. And he actually addressed that. Like, I'm not trying to get in his personal life. I don't know what he's into. But, he did say it was like a sad time in his life.
Yeah.
And he was going through a lot of stuff. So, I don't know. Salute to him. A lot of people wouldn't even talk about that.
That's kind of what I'm saying. You know, because like, he's I don't know. It's not brave, but he's saying it. I mean, yeah. he's not hiding from it.
Yeah, because you have some people that would go into an interview and be like, hey, don't ask me about this. Don't bring this up.
Yeah.
But for the simple fact, he was man enough to just say, hey, this is what I did. This was what I was into.
Yeah.
That takes a lot.
What I was into.
Yeah.
You've eaten dog food before, right? Yeah. No, I haven't.
Come on, man. Everybody in here smoke crack. I could go around everybody. They all smoke crack before, right?
20 out of the 30 people in here. I'd like to have seen the faces. They're like, oh, no, I didn't. Yeah. They weren't close. Yeah. Now, some of them probably would be lying. You know, I'm sure, you know, obviously there's some dudes that wear women's clothes, whatever.
The thing is.
You do you.
The funny thing is people trying to make it like, oh, it's no big deal. It's normal.
Yeah.
It was like, wait a minute.
It's not normal.
Yeah. Like no, everybody ain't do it. Like, it's one thing you say, oh, everybody stole something before, right? Like, yes.
That one probably is true.
Yeah,
stole. I think everyone's stolen something.
Yeah, it's high levels of stealing.
Yeah, not like
Yeah, like I could bad. This bell right here, I could take you this could bell, I could steal that. Yeah. Or a pen sitting here, I could steal that.
Yeah,
but everybody did that once in a while. But
kind of the thing I hate about it is because I Oscar De La Hoya's legacy. Oscar, he was phenomenal. He was a phenomenal boxer.
He was a beast.
A beast. And I think some people just look at him like sideways now.
Yeah, it always been. It's been like that for some time, too.
Yeah, because he's done some other sort of controversial, whatever you want to call it, things. Yeah. But that dude was a badass in the ring.
He was. Like, that's somebody. And I know people probably seen those pictures and called him all type of stuff.
Yeah.
To me, like me as a guy, I'm like, man, I'm not messing with that dude. I just know what he did in the ring.
Yeah.
So I'm not about to sit here and
against everyone. He fought everyone in front of him.
Yeah.
Like everybody who challenged him, didn't duck anybody.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff.
Nah, he was a beast, man. Don't get it twisted, man. In the boxing ring, that dude was a beast.
He was absolutely that. Boy, Robert Griffin is getting destroyed on the text board. All right. Noon hour coming up, and we're going to talk about the game on Saturday. Huge game. A lot of things that we're going to see. I want to talk about the things that you are most excited to see. The things you're most excited to see tomorrow, noon, NRG. Let's talk about that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.